above normal. Cooling down for Friday. Rain possible. High only in the upper 50s. The Talking Place. WWGH Radio.
Well, hello out there, boys and girls and everybody else. Thank you for listening to The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And just like the calendar and website broadcast schedule say, it's time for the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza, starring your host, Adam TCG, or that's just me, Adam Lepp, or you can just call me A for short. Having a really good show, and I want to spend a minute or two, as Scott says, do some housekeeping. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 Eastern Time. It'll be Eastern Daylight Time until beginning part of November. Then it will be Eastern Daylight Time. We talk today's top technology topics, but with the current political climate. We also talk about politics and things that are affecting the great world that we live in. And speaking of which, we have a special caller on the line, and he has been with us multiple times. Yes, there he is, right there. His name is Lucas Wall. He hangs his coat, well, his hat, I would say, not really coat weather yet, because it seems like summer isn't going away anytime soon, in the capital of Washington, D.C. No, he's not the president or a congressman. He just lives there because it's a fun town. But he's currently a little bit south visiting his mother in the great sunshine state of Florida. He is a frequent traveler, and he, like myself, is not pleased with some of these mask requirements. In his case, it's very serious because he travels a lot more than I do, let's put it mildly. He likes to take flights, including flights out of the country, and with the mask requirement, it's caused some serious issues. Before I continue, let's go ahead and have him introduce his dulcet tones to my show. Lucas, how are you on this fairly mild Tuesday here in the great United States of America?
Hi, good afternoon, Adam, and I brought some extra guests with me. We have Charity Anderson from your great state of Ohio, and Michael Ferris from your neighbor, Kentucky. Both are petitioners in the lawsuit filed today against the Transportation Security Administration in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati.
Sounds like a great show. We have four people, and only one of them is in the studio in Marion. Don't you love technology? But ironically, this is just Ma Bell. It's phone technology that we've had for quite a while. Let me first welcome my fellow Buckeye. Charity, how are you on this nice Tuesday in October?
Oh, I'm great, Adam. Thank you for having me on your show.
Are you from Cincinnati, I believe, or is my geography a little messed up today?
I'm polar opposite. I'm in Toledo.
Toledo, okay. Well, that's actually closer, because Toledo is not far from Marion.
And right.
Here at this radio station, Charity, we do all kinds of fun stuff. Former Governor Ted Strickland was actually live on the air with our founder. I call him the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. A few weeks ago, Mary Ellen Withrow, she lives in the area. She's on regularly, the treasurer under Bill Clinton, who helped, she led the redesign of a lot of the money that we use, well, before the currency shortage that was, but when there wasn't a currency shortage. Earlier today, Scott spoke with the deep-voiced singer of the Oak Ridge Boys, so we have all kinds of great guests on this station, and among those great guests is Lucas, who's become a pretty good friend of mine. We not only think alike on some issues, but we always enjoy a little recreational chatter, because we can't take everything too seriously. And we're pleased to have a local person, Charity, join us. How are things out there in Toledo's the glass city, right? And Dayton's the gem city, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, most definitely the glass city. Things are relatively decent here on a local level. As you well know, in July we got the face mask law passed to limit the health department overreach into taking over citizens' rights to, you know, choose whether or not they want to use face masks. So I'm happy on a local level. I'm able to go to, you know, shop and do my day-to-day business again. But unfortunately, you know, public transit is still affected by these overreaching
right.
face masks.
And you go one state to the north, because once you go north of the city limits, you're in Michigan. It's okay. I'm not really an Ohio State person, so I don't care if you're an Ohio State fan or a Michigan fan. Not a big difference to me. I just support athletics at all levels. But their governor, who's very to the left, and I agree with her on many things, as Lucas will, because we're both very independent and somewhat libertarian. She is very strict about the masking. Definitely makes DeWine look like a lightweight in terms of some of the regulations that we've seen.
I agree, and being so close to Michigan, Detroit is where I fly out of, and I haven't been able to fly out of Detroit because of the mandates. As somebody who has a medical exemption, and the process to get an exemption, even with a doctor's note, is completely outrageous.
Yeah, it's become a political issue. To me, it's a ADA violation in action, and I don't know anybody who doesn't support the ADA. It's important that we realize the rights of all people who live and visit this great country. Let me take a minute out, Lucas and Charity, and introduce our third guest. We're going to go south to the beautiful bluegrass state of Kentucky, a gentleman named Michael Ferris. Michael, how are you today on this fine Tuesday?
I'm doing pretty well, sir. How about yourself?
Very good. Like your accent. What part of the bluegrass state are you from?
Thank you. I'm from Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Oh, Elizabethtown,
it's about 50
yes.
Miles south of
me,
Mr. City.
Geography. One thing about me, guys, and lady, is that I claim to be an expert. Walking encyclopedia on music from 73 to 87. No one has been able to stump the DJ, in fact, who's called the station, and I've had a few hard questions. I'm also good at geography, so I know where Elizabethtown is. Beautiful area. Probably a little bit warm over there, but it's good to have a subtropical climate. Now, Michael, you've joined the lawsuit also. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and if you had any of your own experiences where the airlines gave you a little bit of trouble due to your wishing to expose your bare face.
Yeah, so I'm a helicopter maintenance supervisor for a wildland fire company that also does utility work out west, and I have to travel every 12 days to meet the requirements of my work schedule. And so back in August, I started this exemption thing. I believe American was the first one. Then I tried to do with United as well, unsuccessfully. And, you know, they basically kept giving me the runaround, saying, if you do all these things and have your note doctored in this manner and have all these requirements in it, you know, we'll approve your exemption. So I have generalized anxiety, which causes the syncope and the panic and, you know, things of that nature. But anyway, I did all these things for them, resubmitted these letters after the doctor altered the letter to fit the bill that they wanted, and then they came back and said, because of the anxiety, which they were already aware of in the first submission, that I would not be eligible to fly without a mask. So they already knew, and it was predetermined, that they weren't going to approve me anyway based on the anxiety claim. They just gave me the runaround to have all these things put in my second letter that was drafted by my physician, who is Dr. Russell Sarovsky out of New York. And so then, later on in July, when I encountered a flight where it was hard to evade the flight attendant's attention, you know, she kept telling me, you know, I must put my mask on. And I had a sucker at the time and showed her, like, hey, I'm eating a sucker. And she said, well, you have to throw that away because it's preventing you from wearing the mask. So I said, okay, so I put the mask back on. About 10 minutes later, you know, I started feeling you know, really nauseous, and I thought, well, I'm going to get up and go to the lab because I got to take this thing off. I got to regain some consciousness. And I was sitting in Economy Plus there just after the first class seats, and I get up to the threshold of the galley in the very first class seat and fainted and smashed my head on their galley cart. Of course, at that time, the flight attendants changed their tune, and then I told them about the situation, and, of course, her response was, well, why didn't you tell the airlines about this? And I said, well, you know, I've tried. You know, I've been through this thing four times, I think three with American and once with United, and they just will not, under any circumstances, approve me to fly without a mask. So I've got 10 DOT complaints out against American and United both, specifically for this reason of not exempting me from this requirement due to my disability.
Yeah, they saw right away what happens when they don't grant that exemption, and that's beyond the fact that we are of the belief that masks have minimal effectiveness, and the problems they cause, like not breathing air without some heavy filtration, and the filtration includes some chemicals that are questionable that are part of the makeup of the mask, not to mention that it isn't too good for exercising your natural immune system, not to mention that lack of a better
term. Another thing, sir.
Yeah, sorry, go right ahead.
So another thing, sir, is I have a full beard which extends past my chin about 5-6 inches, so there's not a mask I can wear anyway. The one that I have bought that's being branded as a face covering is made by a company called the Beard Tarp, and what it does is it doesn't tuck under your chin. So another thing to add to that is even this Beard Tarp mask, you know, it's branded and sold and has the ear loops and all that and goes down and covers the face and the nose and mouth, and they still tell me that that alone is not effective, that I must wear a blue surgical mask, which is going under my chin, and I can't fit a mask under my chin anyway. So not only do I have to wear the Beard Tarp, but I have to shove a surgical mask behind it to appease them, to make them feel like they're safe, when neither one of them are really effective in any manner.
Right. Long hair, which applies to men or women, even earrings, things that could carry dust or other particles or hit other items or other individuals or parts of the aircraft or the bus or the train, what have you, and the whole idea of beards. And also, even some possibilities beyond that, where some people wear beards because it's part of their religion. So we get into a lot of very touchy areas. And in your case, Michael, yes, you're allowed to have a beard. And it's true that the idea of having it cover your chin when you have a longer beard, that is certainly an exercise in and attire and related logistics. I mean, we know masks are useless anyway, but that further adds to the equation. And also, again, if you have long hair, there are many things that come into play. And obviously, the best solution is just not require masks to begin with. And certainly, if an airline chooses to have its own rule about masks, like some stores do, they should allow, as far as I'm concerned, under the ADA, they're required to allow an exemption. And
very much so.
And you've certainly gone above and beyond what's needed to show that you are entitled to said exemption.
That is correct.
Charity, let's go back to you. Again, we're speaking with Charity in not too far away, Toledo, Ohio, the glass city, as well as a gentleman named Michael in southwestern Kentucky, Elizabethtown, and my semi-regular guest, Mr. Lucas Wall, again, who usually lives in Washington, D.C., but is currently in Florida visiting his mom. Lucas has filed a lawsuit against airlines, governmental agencies, even President Joe Biden, even Dr. Anthony Fauci. We're definitely serious about this, and we've talked about how the mask...
Fauci's coming up later this month, Adam. We haven't gone after Fauci quite yet.
Jumping the gun, but that's a preview of coming attractions. So we are definitely going for the big players in this, and it's a two-sided issue, Lucas. Again, we don't believe masks are useful. You've cited over 200 studies to that effect. In fact, they're detrimental, something which I certainly agree with, and it is a major ADA violation. Charity, let's get back to you. You said you fly out of Detroit. What kind of issues have you had, if any, with attempting to board an airplane
My first encounter with this TSA was actually not an airplane, but on public transit in Memphis, Tennessee, when I was on vacation and I was trying to board a bus, and I was not allowed on the bus. And I, like I said, I have a valid doctor's note. I have years of medical history to back up my issues. I'm actually writing my dissertation. I'm working on my PhD, and my dissertation is how the pandemic has added extra barriers for people with disabilities who need public access. So I'm really, I was really hopeful with the reversal of how Ohio was treating the face mask orders, that it would carry over to other sections of our society. But as soon as I got, I normally drive a car. As soon as I got on vacation and I was, at the beck and call of needing public transportation, I was rejected immediately. And I even tried to use a separate service for transportation while on vacation, and I was rejected even from, a private, I'm not going to mention the company's name, service for transportation. So that was really my first encounter with it this summer. And then for work, I have a conference coming up, and I needed to book a flight to Chicago from Detroit. And when I put my application in for a face mask exemption, well, the process is outrageous. You have to go through like 8 different links to even find the exemption form. And by the time you do, you have paperwork to fill out, and then you have to submit your doctor's note. And in the wording, it says that you have to submit it within 7 days, which I submitted it well over 7 days. But the response was that it would take up to 30 days to respond to my request. Now, if they're asking me for a 7-day notice, but their response is it's going to take 30 days to process my application, I mean, that's like, I don't know. It's like crazy town to me. Like, how is this even any sort of business ethics that you would treat people with disabilities this way? And it's still up in the air if I'm even going to be approved. And from what I've heard, it's not even going to be approved, even with the doctor's note and even with all the forms filled out. It just seems like a lost cause for me to travel at this point through airlines.
It's kind of what Lucas encountered, where bit of the chicken and the egg problem. Okay, we'll give you the exemption, but the time frames don't mesh, and it seems like it's a ploy to get the exemption not to be honored. Would you kind of feel that way, Lucas, or maybe there are a little different circumstances in her case?
No, it's similar. Jerry's booked her ticket a few months in advance, so she'll at least have more time. When I was barred from flying by TSA and Southwest out of Orlando June 2nd, I had just booked my ticket 2 days in advance, and I sent the form into Southwest, but they never responded, and they claim to want your form at least 7 days in advance, which is illegal under Department of Transportation regulations. Airlines are not allowed to require any advance notice that a disabled person will be traveling. So that's one of the things we're attacking in our lawsuit against the airlines. And I wanted to give you some breaking news here today, Adam. We have a group of 13 flyers from 9 states and the District of Columbia who are filing today 6 lawsuits around the country charging the Transportation Security Administration with exceeding its legal authority by continuing to extend a requirement that all public transportation passengers don face masks. So this is a coordinated effort by a dozen disabled Americans and one former flight attendant who quit her job rather than enforce the federal transportation mask mandate. And we are using a special legal provision to file these cases directly in U.S. courts of appeals, bypassing the district court level and allowing these cases to be heard by 3-judge appellate panels in New York City. We have one in Richmond, Virginia, the 4th Circuit. We have the 5th Circuit in New Orleans. The 6th Circuit case, which Michael and Charity are among the 4 petitioners, filed in Cincinnati. 8th Circuit in St. Louis, and then the 11th Circuit case that I'm a part of with 3 other people, including a 4-year-old boy with special needs here in Florida, that is being filed with the circuit court in Atlanta. So we are blitzing the country today with lawsuits against TSA in addition to the case I've already filed against CDC, Biden, etc., and the case we have filed against 7 airlines. And then, as you alluded to earlier, we will be filing another lawsuit against Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, and the dozens of other federal officials who conspired to put into place this illegal and unconstitutional federal transportation mask mandate. So today is a very exciting day for all disabled people in the country who have been banned from using public transportation, including airplanes, since February 1, when this Biden mask mandate took effect. And we're also fighting for all Americans who do not want to obstruct their breathing and cause themselves health harms by limiting their oxygen intake, which is especially dangerous while flying when you are at a pressurized cabin altitude equivalent of 8,000 feet and your oxygen level is already greatly reduced from what it is at sea level.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting on the near south side of the historic city of Marion, but also broadcasting anywhere in the universe at WWGH1071.com, discussing the illegal and, out of lack of a better term, ridiculous, that's about the best word I could think of, plus it's kind of a fun word to say, mask mandates on common carriers, transportation, especially airplanes. Join with my semi-regular guest, Mr. Lucas Wall in Florida, as well as a young lady named Charity in the great city to our north, Toledo, and a gentleman in southwestern Kentucky, Elizabethtown, Michael. They have joined Lucas in this lawsuit against airlines and other entities. Going to ask you, Lucas, shortly about your recent banning from one of the airlines in this great country. But Charity, I was very intrigued, as someone who's been to graduate school myself, about your PhD thesis on the pandemic and its effect on the social, the sociology, out of lack of a better term, the landscape of this country and how we interact and the legalities, etc. Do you go to University of Toledo, may I ask, or which school are you with?
I graduated from UT with my master's, and I'm currently attending EGSU Bowling Green,
okay,
which
EGSU,
is just south of Toledo.
That's really close to Marion. You're not far at all from us.
Right.
So, in your thesis, is this a topic that you kind of hadn't, I mean, obviously this pandemic is not even 2 years old, but when you thought of getting your PhD, continuing your graduate studies, did this kind of mean a change in gears in terms of what you were going to write your thesis about, or were you kind of looking at something similar, even pre-COVID, as to a topic for your PhD?
This completely overhauled my whole trajectory of life. On March 11th, when Governor Mike DeWine put us on lockdown, I was in the middle of a seminar class at BG, and my professor was like, well, we just got the notice, everything's being shut down. And from that day forward, my life changed drastically, my research changed drastically. I was originally planning on pursuing a dissertation in generational studies with educational approaches, but when this happened, I immediately saw the need for me to start advocating for my disability accommodations more and more and more, even before the July order went in from DeWine for the face mask exemptions. I asked my doctor in June, a month prior, I saw it coming a month prior to it, just because of the pressure that was building around here, for an exemption so that I would have access to things like the hospital, doctor's offices, dentists, you know, just regular day-to-day things that I would need to do that they didn't let you do until recently. And when I started to realize that the exemption process was really a matter of siphoning out people from society, I started to look at the rhetoric being used, and I started to look at the policies and the language, and I started to do an analysis on how this is really geared toward isolating people with disabilities, especially if you have unseen disabilities, invisible disabilities, like ADHD, and you don't have the retention to read a 30-page document, or you have issues with learning disabilities and you're not able to go through this exemption process. You know, what does that say about our society that we're using language that's well beyond the average day person's vocabulary? What does that say about our society when you have to go through 8 different links to even find an application for an exemption, and, you know, half the time either the links are broken or the links send you to an external site that you didn't intend to go to? I did multiple studies, both on a local business-to-business level, but also university level, and K-12 studies too, and how students in elementary through high school were being treated when they needed face mask exemptions. So all of this has been a total upheaval. And I did not plan on spending, you know, multiple years of my life doing this research, but I feel it really needs to be done, and that I'm kind of like at a, you know, really perfect spot to do it as someone who, you know, I am disabled myself. I'm experiencing it firsthand. I'm doing my research. it really, like, the roads all crossed at the right time,
it's
Adam.
Necessity is a mother of invention. And if anything, it's unfortunate, Charity, but your research, your work, your media appearance, like here, and it's good that you're a regional person also, even though this is national, international, obviously, that can help fight the unfairness and help solve the problem and help us rethink the way we look at society. So I commend you for doing all this painstaking research, staying up at night, you know, buying extra coffee and talking to people, getting out and about and looking at this from a philosophical level. And this will be one well-deserved PhD when you get it. And be my pleasure to call you a Dr. Charity maybe next time we talk. Michael, our guest from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. You're in a smaller town, and this to me is a nonpartisan issue, but no secret where you live, I believe, is mostly right-leaning in terms of politics. What kind of experiences have you had with mask enforcement if you've taken a bus or anything other than a plane, as I assume you'd fly out of Nashville or Louisville or a larger airport? Do you see the mask mandates not enforced as strictly, or anything you want to comment about that?
Yeah, sure. What I can tell you is locally there in Elizabethtown, which is where I perform day-to-days, you know, I really don't have to go out for much. I'm kind of out of the city in the county area just a little bit. But, you know, when I did go out and visit places, there was never really any enforcement of it. Most of the people know everybody, so it's kind of, you know, they just didn't tell their friends, like, hey, you got to put a mask on. I think the only place I really encountered the problem was two places, and one was Walmart, and I simply just said no thank you, and they allowed me to go on about my business. And then the other place was Menards, which is just recently built there in the town, and they were just as strict as any other, I guess you could say, government entity at the time of the height of the pandemic. But as far as the TSA in Louisville, SDF, where I fly out of, I used to work at SDF for 4.5 years. I supervised maintenance there for Republic Airways overnight. But anyway, a lot of those people know me because I used to have a CIDA badge, and I would go around, you know, in that area all the time. So they, you know, I've won the battle with the exemption through the TSA, but it's not without argument. And SDF, they know my face. They know I'm exempt. They don't even ask me anymore. So that's the good thing about traveling there from home, is I actually have created this rapport with them, and they understand what we're all doing, and they agree with it. Most of the members in that organization there in SDF with the TSA, they're kind of applauding it, so I'm sure that they don't want to be a part of it anyway. But the places I've traveled, like Dallas and let's say Denver mostly is where I connect at, you know, those are harder to get through their TSA. I mean, I really have to fight those people verbally with language that even really I had to do a lot of research to find out myself. But in E-Town, no, not really. I mean, our governor is a Democrat. He's very pro-mask, and he's been horrible on the children. And what I can say proudly is that our legislators in the state passed a bill, a vetoed bill, which was obviously passed anyway, that he could no longer enforce mask mandates on the children in the schools or the actual state itself without going through the processes to create something that everyone agreed with. And right now, my child, who's in Hardin County Schools system, he goes to G.C. Burkhead there in Elizabethtown, and they just on Monday this week had removed their mask requirement, even though the Kentucky State Board of Education said that they were going to mask children until 2022. So they're kind of like their own little local governments, the way I understand it. So that school board has decided our case rates or whatever are, you know, 50 or lower, so we'll allow the children to come in without masks. Now my child is able to go into school without mask at this moment, which is good.
Yeah, glad to hear that. And I like to think of this, Michael, Charity, and Lucas, as a nonpartisan issue, because, like Lucas, I'm independent, but I kind of lean libertarian. Certainly I'm far left on some issues, far right on others. I just don't see where this is a Democrat versus Republican issue. But it certainly has appeared to have come down to that. And to me, it's an American issue. But as you mentioned, in your area, Michael, it's smaller towns. People know each other. And so things may be a little bit different. We've heard about Chicago and their mayor with her strict enforcement. Yet, we see photos of her. She's a big local sports fan, which is wonderful. Glad she supports
supports the White Sox and the Bears and the Blackhawks, but we also see her photographed without a mask. So there's also a lot of hypocrisy. Plus, we've seen President Biden photographed without a mask, even though he feels that regular people, I guess, had a lot of...
Well, you know, I just want to add a little nugget here for you if you got a moment.
Oh, sure.
So I went to the Capitol in Kentucky about 4 weeks ago when this whole thing with the schools doing the mask mandates again. And I went to the Capitol myself, which was, it was sort of empty. I mean, there was maybe like five people I encountered while I was there.
Yeah.
But I showed up to the Kentucky State Capitol, seeing Governor Beshear face to face. He's got two security guards. They're wearing masks, and he's walking around without one, although he is basically regurgitating whatever his medical advisors say it must happen. And I spoke with the security guard there at length, and they said basically the governor doesn't even agree with it, and that he's just regurgitating whatever his medical advisor tells him to say, which is bad.
One thing I hate is hypocrisy. You know what? Let's talk about Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago. She's pretty well known. I mean, Mayor Lori, if you want to be strict about masks and if you think that they work, that's fine. You're an American. I respect your opinion. She's a smart lady. The first black lesbian mayor of Chicago, and that's wonderful. I'm proud of her for going over all the hurdles necessary to be elected mayor. However, I'm not proud of her hypocrisy. And if you're going to go ahead and tell people to wear a mask, to carry a vaccine card, and you're out at a White Sox game cheering on your team, which is also great, but not wearing a mask, what message does that send? And you're mentioning your governor, Michael, a puppet to what his medical people say. And it seems like Governor DeWine is similar, but he has certainly backed off, probably because he realizes people like myself might vote for him because we don't like the other two Republican candidates. I'd like Blystone, but he is too religious on many things for me to be comfortable voting for him. I don't like Renacci, and although I have some liking for Nan Whaley, the Dayton mayor, she's too liberal on a lot of things, and I suspect she would be very, very mask-friendly also. So I think you might agree with this, Charity. If DeWine wants voters, people like myself, he needs to back off of the mask stuff, and he seems to have done that. I mean, he's a smart man, a lawyer, a smart politician. And with Beshear, again, not only is it hypocrisy, Michael, he doesn't even agree with what he's saying. And so is it right for... Let me know what you think about that, Lucas. Is it right for a governor to be a puppet for his or her medical advisors? Is that the governor's job? Wouldn't we expect that person to be a little way too intelligent and not form his or her own decision?
Absolutely not. The governor needs to represent the people and needs to stand up for the rights of the people. Most folks are not aware, but federal law actually prohibits any state, local government, business, airline, bus company, etc., from mandating that any person use an experimental medical device. And the Food and Drug Administration itself classifies surgical masks and cloth masks and anything but N95 respirators as experimental medical devices that are either illegal to sell in the United States or are permitted for sale only under an emergency use authorization. And it's interesting, I dug out all these FDA documents, Adam, and the sellers of the emergency authorized masks, such as all the typical light blue surgical masks you see people wearing, are required to put on their box or their package that this device is not intended to treat any medical illness. And so the governors and President Biden, they should be offering all Americans the right guaranteed in federal law to refuse administration of an experimental medical device, and they should be protecting the inalienable right we all have to breathe freely without any obstruction. Obviously, oxygen is one of the absolute most fundamental necessities of life.
Lucas, what do you think about this hypocrisy? You've seen the press and the art and the photos of Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago not wearing a mask, as she does go to sporting events, and that's wonderful. She is a great supporter of her city. But if she's going to be as strict about this stuff to, I guess, the mere mortals like us, she certainly should be following her own rules. Also, I had read, and you probably saw this, when she had the city on lockdown and closed the hair salons and barbershops, she went ahead and got her hair cut and got criticized for it because she said she had to be out in public and she had to look good. Well, I don't care. Tie your hair back in a ponytail. You need to follow your own rules. I cannot stand hypocrisy. If she wants to think that masks are wonderful and we should wear them, that's fine. But you need to follow your own rules. And the Kentucky governor, that's just kind of crazy. And I think these officials need to be exposed for their own behavior. And, you know, practice what you preach. Now, humans by nature can be hypocritical, but on something like this, it really isn't the smartest thing to do politically or as a human. Let me ask all of my panelists. Lucas, would you agree with me on that, or do you want to add any of your own opinions about the hypocrisy we're seeing in mayors and governors?
I'll just say any elected official who mandates masks and then is seen out in public not wearing one should be impeached and removed from office.
I have no disagreement whatsoever. Charity, what do you think about that? Do you agree with Lucas? Is he being a little too strict? Or what's your opinion about the hypocrisy that we're seeing in these governors and mayors?
Adam, like you, I consider myself an independent with libertarian sympathies, is what I like to call it.
I think we're all pretty
so for me,
like
for
that.
Me, I'm all about people's individual choices. So if I see someone choosing, like a governor or a mayor, choosing to not wear a mask, I'm glad they're not wearing a mask. But at the same time, they should also respect other people's choices to not wear a mask.
Right. You've probably seen about Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago. Out with the sporting events, not wearing a mask, yet she's very strict about them. Do you think she should suffer a penalty? Do you kind of cringe when you see that? Any kind of thing going through your mind when you've heard about that?
I just think it's universally accepted at this point that we have bad leadership in most of the United States at this point. A lot of the governors and mayors have betrayed their citizens on one level or another, and I think being hypocritical with their procedures like this is 100% a betrayal, and they should be held accountable for that betrayal.
I agree. And lastly, Michael, what's your opinion about the hypocrisy? I mean, you've seen the governor of Kentucky firsthand, and I would say, what's going on here? Practice what you preach, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, I think that she nailed it well when she said that it's a betrayal. I mean, it absolutely is. So, as we all know, the governor's job is to protect the rights of the citizens within that state, that state and individual rights. So, you know, when I'm at work, the guys who work for me, I'm never going to ask them to do something I wouldn't do myself. So, they need to put themselves in that position where if they're not believing in whatever it is that they are trying to tell the public of their state, you know, they need to just be honest. They need to come out and say, hey, you know, just like it was in the very beginning, right? Hey, it's your choice. If you feel like this makes you better, makes you safer, rather, then go ahead and do it. But, you know, don't force it on people who don't want anything to do with it, who can't have anything to do with it because it causes them problems. It is an absolute betrayal of their job as the governor to come out and be honest with the people and protect their rights and their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
So it would appear. We are speaking with a young lady, Charity, in nearby Toledo. She's a graduate of University of Toledo. She is getting her PhD from very nearby Bowling Green State University, BGSU, and she is studying about the impact of masks and the pandemics and how it intertwines, I guess, with society, along with my semi-regular guest, Lucas Wall, who is suing the airlines and government entities and will soon be suing the famous or infamous Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's currently in Florida, as well as another special guest today, Michael from southwestern Kentucky, Elizabethtown. Lucas, we mentioned this earlier, that you are no longer welcome on JetBlue Airlines, and it seems like their reasoning is, at a lack of a better term, stupid, because you were a good customer, they made money off of you, and it'd be nice if they can make more money off of you. Also, it's illegal. They are skirting ADA regulations and setting themselves up for some major trouble. Tell us more about what happened there with JetBlue, and do you agree with me that they are setting themselves up for some very serious problems.
Oh, yes. Well, JetBlue has now banned me from flying because I sued them, and that is illegal retaliation under the Air Carrier Access Act and probably other federal laws as well. So we will be adding new charges to that case shortly. I got a message in response from JetBlue, which is just absolutely laughable. They said, "Safety is and will always be our number one priority. With that in mind, after a thorough investigation by our corporate security, we have been advised that you are no longer permitted to travel with JetBlue. They maintain their position, and we are not able to invite you back as a customer. We would like you to know we do not make a decision to revoke travel eligibility on JetBlue lightly. These decisions are based on our unwavering promise to ensure the safety of our customers and crew members." So they're essentially making me out to be a security threat because I sued them to enforce my legal rights under federal law.
Total retaliation.
Adam Lipp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with Lucas in Florida, Michael in Kentucky, and from the great city of Toledo, a young lady named Charity who's doing her PhD thesis on these issues. We're going to add a fifth person. We may go over a little bit because the show has been so good. It's the gentleman's name is Terry Tackett. He is one of my fellow managers in the radio station. He does, like myself, a lot of behind-the-scenes things. And he had brought up some statistics that I wanted him to bring up, and we want to all talk about it. Let's see if I got the right microphone. Terry, say hello for a second. Let's verify if the right dial turned up.
Hello, guys.
How about that? Hi. I've actually taped up the right,
all right,
turned up the right dial. Terry's been with the station actually longer than I have. He has two day jobs and does a lot at the station. A good friend of mine professionally. We're speaking, Terry, with the founder of a lawsuit and two people who've joined the lawsuit regarding airlines requiring masks and violating the American for Disabilities Act for those who are not able to wear one. We also question the effectiveness of masks, but the ADA issue is certainly at the forefront. You gave me a statistic, Terry. I was talking about Chicago and their mayor, who is a hypocrite. I think we can agree that she is, regardless of whether or not we agree with the masking. Tell me about the statistic that you, you showed me.
Adam, I don't mean to butt in your show here. I just happened to run across this story as you were talking to your guest there. Chicago, the police department in Chicago, COVID-19 has been the biggest cause of death for their officers the last 2 years. 473 officers on their department have died due to COVID. That's more than gunshot violence. That's more than basically any other form of violence that would kill officers. So, and their union has implemented a no mask policy. So, I just find that, you know, and their mayor's going out in public, you know, with no mask on. So it just kind of seems.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of whether or not you agree, and again, I want to include. When I heard that Chicago elected a black lesbian mayor, I thought that was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's like cutting edge, you know? Yeah.
I'm so proud of her.
Right.
And that's great.
But she should practice what she preaches, basically.
She's not really been a
very good mayor. I mean, you're seeing the statistic right here. I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, you would agree, Terry. I know we don't see... We see a little bit eye to eye. I think we both have that belief that it's your decision what you want to do.
Sure. And speaking on that, my sister has been a victim of that because they just flew to Vegas last week, and they were part of that Southwest Airlines walkout. So they were delayed 4 days coming home.
Yeah, so Lucas, you have sued Southwest Airlines, so that isn't really much of a surprise, I would say.
Yeah, they were part of that, so...
So, Lucas, Southwest is one of the airlines that you've sued, so that probably doesn't surprise you too much.
No, although the issues that Southwest are facing, I don't think have anything to do with the mask mandate, so I can't really speak to what's going on with them. But it appears that Southwest is trying to ban me as well. I've gotten some strange correspondence from them that I'm having to follow up with.
They're a major airline. They have a hub in Cleveland, and they do a lot of business in this state. They're big in Cleveland, Delta, big in Cincinnati and Delta and others, big in Columbus. Terry, I mentioned about Mayor Lightfoot and her hypocrisy, and you've seen the photos.
She was at the WNBA, the Chicago Sky, just won the WNBA Women's Championship. She was there with no mask on.
Right.
The only one indoors with no mask on.
And whether or not you agree, I mean, we may not agree. I think we agree partially.
But what I'm saying is, why does 10,000 other people have to have a mask and her not?
Yeah, why is... And she's the mayor, the one who...
She's the leader of the...
I mean, we know when we were growing up, we had friends, their parents smoked or did something else that may not be advisable, and they say, well, they tell their kid, don't smoke. Don't do as I say, not as I do. Now, hypocrisy is a natural human instinct, and I don't think it's right. I think a parent telling their kids not to smoke should not smoke themselves, or if you are addicted, get a patch, take the pill, whatever.
Well,
but this
is
a mayor of a city with 300, almost...
I'm kind of in that same thing. Why did I get vaccinated then? I thought I got vaccinated to not have to wear a mask.
Exactly.
I wear a mask and I'm vaccinated.
The whole landscape has really changed.
So,
okay, yeah, I appreciate it, Terry.
I'm frustrated, you know?
I think you're good because we agree, I think, on the libertarian view that do what you wish to do. We may not agree on the effectiveness.
And that's, you know...
I'm a grown man. I can make my own decision.
Sure.
And in the case of Lori Lightfoot, this is way beyond the smoking parent telling their kids don't smoke. This is a mayor of a city with almost 3 million people. Who goes, you know, again, it's wonderful that she supports her local teams.
I have no problems with that.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
But she needs to practice what she preaches. And one thing I hate is hypocrisy. And she's down to zero respect, and she's not going to get reelected. Her opponents are going to be all over her.
Just for this right here, yeah.
Right. We're going to go over by a few minutes, but thank you, Terry, for joining the show for a second. Great conversation. Want to thank my phone guests, Lucas, Michael, and Charity. Michael, let me have you go first. Any parting words? Have you been on the radio before? Have you enjoyed being on the show? Anything you wanted to add before we say goodbye?
Yeah, no, I've never actually been on any radio anything. What I would like to add, if you don't mind, is just... people who are like-minded to get in touch with me, I'm on Instagram at HeliBearded. It's HeliBearded. And then the more people we can get to join this fight, I mean, the better. So just find me on there, and hopefully we can gain some more traction with a lot of what's going on here.
Okay,
thank you so much for having us, and I'm enjoying
right
it.
Now, Michael, so I'm glad your radio debut was a good one. We really appreciate your kind words and all that you've done for this cause.
Yeah, definitely bring him back. I mean, that's for sure. Yeah.
Go ahead next with Charity, who is diligently working on her PhD thesis at BGSU. Any parting words? And what do you think about this radio appearance on this fine Tuesday afternoon?
I really appreciate the time that you've given us to voice our concerns and contribute to this conversation that affects everybody. And I just really encourage, especially parents, and a parent myself, you know, parents should really advocate, as Michael touched on, advocate for your children's rights to go to school without masks, advocate for your children to experience life without a mask. And I think that's like the biggest thing everybody in America could learn right now, is just to stand up and, you know, take care of people who don't have voices.
I would agree, and hopefully next time we talk, you will be more on your road, further on your way to your PhD, and your new designation as Dr. Charity has a really good ring to it. I wish you luck and congratulate you on your work, because it's going to have an impact on this and other cases. Even if you don't agree, I think it gives people food for thought. Last but not least, Mr. Lucas Wall, this is not your first radio appearance, and it certainly won't be your last. He was even on with Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars. What do you think about that, Terry? He shared the same microphone that Sam Donahue,
wow,
the golden voice, and even yourself did.
Phil Donahue, yeah.
Phil Donahue, I mean, this is some
Ed Asner.
Some pretty heavy stuff. So, any parting words, Lucas, and maybe advice for our listeners who may have had some issues with their mask philosophies not agreeing with those of others?
Well, we have a coalition of people around the country who are fighting this, both with the CDC, the president, the TSA, numerous airlines, soon Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, and many of other dozens of federal officials. I encourage your listeners to visit my blog, which is a very simple address, lucas.travel, lucas.travel. We will have later this afternoon information up there as we finish filing these six petitions at the Court of Appeals across the nation. There will be the documents available for anyone to download and take a look at, and hopefully in the next week or so we will be filing in all six of these petition cases for emergency injunctions to ask the Courts of Appeals to immediately stop the TSA from requiring all passengers muzzle themselves as a condition of using any form of public transportation. On my blog, if you go to any entry at the bottom, you can find a link to 223 studies, articles, and videos showing how masks are ineffective in reducing COVID-19 transmission, but harm our health in dozens of ways. You can donate to our legal fund to pay for all these cases on GoFundMe. There's a link there. And you can also click on a link to join a Facebook group I run called Americans Against Mask Mandates. So those are some ways that your listeners can take action today to support our cause.
Thank you very much, Lucas. Always a great erudite guest. We always learn something. And again, thank you also, Charity from Toledo and Michael from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Adam, saying goodbye. We will get together again Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3. I'm actually hoping to have a really good special guest at that time, so I will keep you in suspense until then. You are listening to The Talking Place, WWGH, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 on your FM dial in and around Marion County, and anywhere in the world at WWGH1071.com. You may also visit my website at AdamTheComputerGuy.com. Have a great day.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine,